Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the give inside, Jacobs breaks the tackle. Straight ahead he goes. Josh Jacobs taking everyone with him. Inside the five. And he's down. He's in. Touchdown. What a run. Let's see if he got there.
Wow. It's going to be close. And then he's probably down.
Even those beautiful moments from Green Bay, we couldn't quite get the perfection that we wanted. That would have been a beautiful touchdown run. Unfortunately, just a half a yard short. He punched it in one play later, but still an unbelievable play from Josh Jacobs. Like I said, still some positives to take away from this one. Trying to stay as positive as possible here on the Pack-A-Day radio show this morning. Welcome back again. My name is Andy Herman. All right, we got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next. I am telling you right now, I am not going to want to miss a second of Mitch.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Mitch and Mason and their entire breakdown of this Packers game. I have a feeling Mitch is going to be extra fired up today. And let me just tell you, I am here for it. So make sure to check that out from 9 to 11. And if that didn't get you sold on it, Randall Cobb, former Packers wide receiver, is going to be joining them at 10 a.m. today. So again, make sure to check out Mitch and Mason 9 to 11 right here on The Fan with Randall Cobb at 10 a.m. But right now, we are joined by Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks, Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find her on social media at Camille Monet. Camille, it is great to be chatting with you. I wish we were under better Victory Monday circumstances, but alas, here we are. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Like you said, wish it was after a Packers victory. I had some cautious optimism going into this game, and then that came crashing down pretty quickly in this one.
Yeah, it very, very cool. I mean, we didn't get one play to just enjoy this game right in any real way. And it was already of like, all right, well, buckle in. Here we go. I've been asking this question today, and I want to start by asking you the same question. How would you grade this Packers season on the totality? Are you leaning more positive? Are you a little bit more frustrated / disappointed? How are you feeling overall? How would you grade this team in 2024/ early 2025?
I'd probably give them like a B, B minus, somewhere in that range, because the defense did make some strides, and the defense was improved in a way that I didn't know that they can necessarily achieve. I had some questions about, is this solely coaching going into this season, or do we need some different personnel moves on that side of the ball? What Jeff Hafley was able to do with this group, especially with Jair Alexander going down later in the season, was impressive to me. Offensively, they didn't take that step that I was expecting them to take this season. So a little disappointing there. And then special teams remained an area of just headaches outside of Brandon McManus as he came on, although he also missed a field goal in this playoff game. But overall, McManus' performance was pretty consistent through the season. So overall, probably a B-. I thought this was going to be another playoff team this year. They were that. They just didn't go further than they did last year, which is disappointing.
Yeah, that special teams performance, a fumble on the opening play, of course, a bad return and hold on their next kick return. Brandon McManus, under 40-yard field goal, missed a kick return that only got out to the 22-yard line, and forgetting to field a kick inside the field of play, which put them at the 20. Not a great day for the Packers special teams. It was that sort of day for Green Bay kind of overall, outside of, like you said, like the defense had its moments in this one. What overall, in your opinion, went wrong for this Green Bay team down the stretch here, losing their final three games, Minnesota, Chicago, and Philly? Why were they not able to learn from their mistakes, and why was Green Bay just seeming a little bit off through the final, for the finality of the season, I should say?
It's a great question. A great question. And if I had the answer, I might be employed by the Green Bay Packers. But I just think down the stretch, and we saw it throughout the year, the Packers lost every game that they lost this season in a similar fashion, where if they weren't playing clean, if they were getting too many penalties, self-inflicted wounds, not being sharp, those are the games. That was the script in every single Packers loss. And a lot of that I credit to, like, okay, this is a young team. And sometimes progress isn't linear. You kind of go up and down all around while you figure it out. And they just weren't able to figure that piece out. When the Packers got in their own way, there was no escaping it this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's what's most frustrating is that they just couldn't learn from those mistakes. They couldn't really take that next step, and it was definitely frustrating because of that. Of course, everyone wants to have their immediate evaluations of Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur following this game. I can tell everyone very clearly, and I'm sure you feel the same way, that Matt LaFleur nor Jordan Love are going anywhere and will be the head coach and the quarterback of this team, not only for this season, but likely the foreseeable future. But how would you evaluate both of these two overall? We know that the quarterback and the head coach, when things are going well, probably get a little bit too much of the credit. When things do not go well, probably get a little bit too much of the blame. But what are your evaluations for these two in particular as we get ready for this offseason?
If the Packers want to get back to that Super Bowl, both guys are going to need to be better. Going into that game against the Bears to end the regular season, you heard Matt LaFleur talking about, like, hey, I'm playing my guys because I don't feel like they did what they were supposed to do last week against the Vikings. They need to be better. We need to have a clean game. It has to happen. And not only did they not get that in that game, they also didn't get it from Matt LaFleur, which I thought was a microcosm of the season in itself, where at times the play calling is questionable. At times the clock management is just poor for the team. And then Jordan Love, the decision-making, just going through the process, wasn't great at times. And last year we saw moments where, again, the decision-making needed some improvement. But what he did to end last season, I think, accelerated expectations of him for this season. And I don't blame people for that, because once you show you can do something, it becomes expected of you. And they just weren't able to live up to those expectations. I think, as you said, I don't foresee Jordan Love being gone. I do not think Matt LaFleur should be fired, but I do think that both men need to be better next season and going forward for the Packers to really hit that ceiling we think they can achieve.
I couldn't agree with that more, and I think there's fair criticism on both individuals. As you mentioned, both of them need to be better, and I think they kind of opened up an offseason of questions of, you know, where can Matt LaFleur get this team? What's the ceiling? And, you know, for Jordan Love, like, who's the real Jordan Love? Is it the one that we saw at the end of 2023 and saw in flashes in 2024? I think injuries certainly hurt him this year and never really got in that rhythm. Or is it the one that we saw at the beginning of 2023 and the end of 2024? Those are two very, very different Jordan Loves. And which one we see? Or is this just the Jordan Love that sometimes you're going to get, Aaron Rodgers, and sometimes you're going to get TJ Rubley, and you just don't know which one you're going to get on any given day. And he's just kind of that streaky shooter that when things are going great, it looks awesome. When things are not going great, it does not look good at all. And you're just not sure which one's going to show up from day to day. We don't know. I don't think exactly yet. I think anyone that's saying, hey, we know exactly that Jordan Love is going to be great and he's going to be a top 10 QB, I think that's probably a little bit unfair at this point. I think anyone that just says he's not the guy, he can't be a good quarterback, I think that's a little bit unfair too. But it definitely seems to open up this question box of who is Jordan Love? What can he be, and what can this team be with Love and LaFleur as coach? Although, again, I think it's worth noting that they did get to back-to-back playoff performances in their first two seasons together as kind of the, well, in the Jordan Love era, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to point out, because last season, most people didn't even think the Packers could sniff the playoffs. And there they are. They go into Dallas. They completely just throttle Dallas in Dallas. They go to San Francisco. They have a good showing in a game where you feel like they could have won this had they not got in their own way. And you left last season feeling really optimistic about what the future held, because it was like, wow, they're ahead of schedule on this rebuild. And then you come into this season with the expectations that were placed upon them because of what they did last year, and you see a team that couldn't beat any of the top teams. You see a team that in the NFC North was a blocked field goal away from not winning a game against anyone in their division. And you look at that margin of error, and you're like, okay, well, if the NFC North is going to continue to be this good, better than what I expected going into the year, especially with Minnesota coming on the way that they did this year, it changes the dynamics a bit of like, okay, now the division that you're in is really tough. You're not worried just about Detroit. You have to also worry about what Minnesota can do. Chicago was still a mess this year, but you can see some of the pieces together. And if they ever can get things solidified at that line of scrimmage, especially the offensive line, they're going to be a pretty good football team. And then you look at this offseason, it's like, well, the Packers have some money. They can do some things, but then you realize, oh, wait, Detroit has money. Minnesota has money. Chicago has money. So you're going to need that internal improvement for sure from this group. And I think they can get there. But like you said, there's no way to look at everything and say we know what's going to happen. The Packers have to take those right steps and really look in this offseason for internal improvement, as well as using some of that money to bring in some impact players.
I'm right there with you. We are being joined by Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks, in the Pack a Day podcast. You can find her on social media at Camille Monet. And I want to speak to that. If you're Green Bay, if you're putting your Brian Gutekunst hat on for a moment, what does Green Bay need to do in this offseason to make the, next step and get better as a team?
I think the four position groups that the Packers need to look to upgrade in the offseason, and this is in no particular order, but I think this is the big four here. You got to go with that. The edge rush, you need some more pass rushers. You need some more cornerbacks. You need some more wide receivers, and you need some more offensive linemen. And I think with this Packers team also being the second youngest team in a row, there's reasons for optimism with that of like, man, look at what these young guys were able to accomplish. But I think in this offseason, what they might need to take that next step is just some more vets in that locker room, just to kind of help these young guys continue to develop. Maybe having more vets outside of the coaches telling these guys what they need to be doing can help cut down on some of those self-inflicted penalties and wounds that they tend to cause themselves. I don't want to say like putting adults in the classroom pretty much, but it's like just kind of helping that locker room grow up a little bit more for them to really achieve what they need to get to.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And for me, I just kind of want to see them have a similar offseason where they go and get a big player on offense, big player on defense. And I think it needs to be a pass rusher. And I think it needs to be a weapon offensively to give Jordan just a little bit more help and a little bit more consistency within that wide receiver group. I want to talk to a moment to 2035 Camille Davis. So 10 years from now, as you look back at this 2024 team, what are you going to remember about this season?
Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, the two free agent additions that came in and really made a splash. Seeing a safety like McKinney, it makes the past years of Packer football, when you look back, like, man, they were really missing that dynamic guy on the back end of that defense and how much that changes for them. And then flipping it, like Josh Jacobs and what he was able to do, one of the best seasons of a Packers running back that we've seen, like top five running back season for a Packer that we got from Josh Jacobs. I think those are really the two biggest things to take away. And I'll add this in. If Edgerrin Cooper becomes who we think that he can be, this season will also be remembered for like the emergence of this rookie, of this star emerging for the Packers.
I like that a lot. And I'm right there with you on Edgerrin Cooper. Hopefully this is the lane of the foundation of what he can be as a superstar in this league, and we see him take that significant step and really become that true playmaker and star, which he really even was showing by being the NFC rookie defensive rookie of the month over this past month. He was certainly deserving of that, and he's a very, very fun player to watch and made some big plays in this last game as well. All right, again, we are being joined by Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks, Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find her on social media at Camille Monet. All right, give me some reasons for optimism going into this offseason, Camille. I need some positivity here just to kind of get me through this day after non-victory Monday.
I think you lean on the fact that they are young. So, like, you can look at that and be like, man, that's part of why they lost, but also as a reason for optimism because there is so much football in front of them. The difference between flaming out in the playoffs this year than it was in some of the last years for Aaron Rodgers is that pressure that you felt on yourself and on the team of like, okay, this window is closing. Like, we have to make sure that we take advantage of this. And for this Packers team, although they didn't hit the highs that some might have expected throughout the season after what they did last year, you can see the window was still open for this team with the guys that they have on this roster if they continue to develop. And I think that there's something about that youthful optimism that comes into play of like, hey, if these guys continue to develop and, you know, we hit on some of these draft picks and they continue where they're going, like, you can see something really good forming in Green Bay for quite some time.
Yeah, I think so, too. I do think there are plenty of reasons for optimism. I think Jordan, and if he can kind of get back to, especially, again, how he played at the end of 2023, that'll change a lot. I think the things around him need to be a little bit better, but still a lot of positives. And, again, I think Jeff Hafley's defense taking a big jump, certainly in that conversation as well. Camille, give me a bold offseason prediction for this team. It can go in any direction that you want. I'll let you have the floor entirely here. You can go, like I said, anywhere you want to go, but give me a bold offseason prediction for Green Bay.
The Packers get a wide receiver one. Now, I'm not saying that means they're going to draft a receiver in the first round. That might not happen. It could be second round. But I think they're going to get a top-tier prospect either through the draft or free agency, which isn't a position that you tend to think of the Packers for when it comes to how they add to their team. But to your point earlier about just thinking that Jordan Love needs that weapon, I agree wholeheartedly, especially given the fact that Christian Watson has that torn ACL. And when he is off the field for this team, the passing game just hasn't worked as well as when he is available, even if he's not the guy who's the main recipient of those targets. And I think the Packers do need just that wide receiver one. Going into the season, I thought, you know, they have a lot of guys who are talented, who you can, you know, mismatch and use in different ways, and you didn't necessarily need one. But I think this season showed that they actually do need that guy, and I think this offseason they go and get him.
Already some whispers this morning of some Packers interest in T. Higgins, who is still only 25 years old, obviously big-time player for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's going to be a long offseason of rumors and conjecture, but we're getting started right away here on the Packaday Radio Show. All right, before we let you go, Camille, I know your primary gig, obviously, is of Locked On Bucks. Looking at the Wisconsin sports calendar here, we've got college basketball first, so Wisconsin and Marquette and the local, those teams will have the opportunity to break our hearts first, but the next team that'll have the ability to break our hearts in a playoff run after that from a pro standpoint will be the Milwaukee Bucks, of course, and then we'll get into Milwaukee Brewers and everything like that. But I say that facetiously. Hopefully the Bucks have this epic run. But before we let you go, give me the state of the Milwaukee Bucks at the moment. I know they had a tough loss yesterday to the Knicks, but how are you feeling about your Milwaukee Bucks?
Some similarities to the Packers, unfortunately, in the sense that they just can't seem to beat the best of the best. The Bucks have lost to the Cavaliers. They've lost to the Celtics. They've lost to the Knicks and haven't gotten a win. 0-8 against the top three teams in the East right now. But unlike football season, the NBA season is very long with the 82 games. There's a lot more runway for them to continue to try to get better. But they have to figure that piece out. They've done a good job of stabilizing a bit after that 2-8 start, but there is still a lot more room for this team to grow if they're going to look to really be a contender. So it's just going along that journey right now to continue this season of can they get there? They don't have any more matchups against the Celtics. They have one more, I believe, against the Cavaliers and one more against the Knicks. So they're going to have a chance, but they got to show and prove. They got to start showing and proving.
True or false, they make a big deal before the deadline?
Ooh, I think they make a move. They're going to do something. The question is what, given the fact that they're really restricted being a second apron team with the new CBA, and it just makes making those deals a lot harder. But I think that they're going to make a move. And at the very least, what I'm expecting the Bucks to do is find a way to transfer Ryan Rollins' two-way contract into a standard contract because Ryan Rollins has come on and shown that he is someone deserving of a full roster spot.
Yeah, certainly deserving of that. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do. It's a little bit, to some extent, on to Bucks season to see what they can do and hopefully make this run. They are, of course, the in-season champions. And she, of course, is Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks, Pack-A-Day podcast. Follow her on social media, at Camille Monet. What do you got cooking this week, Camille?
I'm actually getting ready to do a live Locked On Bucks to kick off the day for the week here, coming off of that Knicks loss, and then Locked On Bucks Monday through Friday this week, and Technical Foul Podcast, where we talk about NFL, NBA, and pro wrestling, recording that live every Tuesday with episodes coming out on Wednesday. So staying busy, going to miss watching the Packers, and still dropping some Pack-A-Day content as well.
Absolutely. She's the absolute best. Again, follow her on Twitter at Camille Monet. We will of course have her back on at some point this offseason to talk a variety of different things, talk about the Bucks, talk about the Packers, and anything else. Maybe we'll talk some wrestling as well with Camille along the way, but I'm looking forward to it. Camille, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you soon. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolet Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250, and it's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.